we need to talk to Chief. Chief, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
And I know you never like it when you gotta get that ribbon of black crepe and drape it across your badge.
Absolutely.
You know, no matter where you have served as a law, is that one of the hardest things as a law enforcement officer when you've gotta get that piece of black crepe out of your drawer?
Well, first of all,
and wrap it around your badge.
Thank all the citizens and the people who reached out to our officers, family, and to IMPD family. But I also want to thank the hardworking men and women at IPD for the ultimate sacrifice that many of us give to this community. But to answer your question, Amos, two things. The toughest badge to get is the retirement badge. Mm-hmm. It's something we all want to be able to achieve. It's a badge of courage. It's a badge of honor. But to not to be able to get that badge and have to drape a symbolic ribbon across a door on across a badge sends a message that that person wasn't able to achieve that ultimate.
I asked Rick Schneider how Mrs. Hinn was doing. I know you've talked with her. How's she and the family doing?
Well, let's face it, Amos, no one wants to be taken away too soon, and no wife wants to lose a husband this way, but this is a noble profession, and she's a wife of a person who gave his life and his career and his life to this profession. And we take an oath when we take this job. It starts with I solemnly swear, and it ends with so help me God. Mm-hmm. But in between it says, to the best of my ability, without impartiality or prejudice, do we do this job. And I believe that Officer Wren tried to do just that. He made a difference in the community. He got out of the car. He got into the neighborhoods. And you put chips in the bank before things happen, and you hear us talk about that, how important it is to do that before an incident occurs, the community know him. And yesterday, 100 people showed up outside the location where it took place to honor him and his memory, and story after story about how he helped people in the neighborhood, from children to elderly people, came forward, and seniors made it very clear that guys like him is what we need in policing.
Let me move to Broad Ripple, because there really has not been a lot of publicity as to what happened Friday night, Saturday morning on 62nd Street on Broad Ripple Avenue. What happened?
Basically, it's a summer evening after we had a fantastic 4th of July celebration downtown. Our community and city were proud at the 50,000 people who came down and civilly enjoyed the fireworks. There were people who I ventured into a Broad Ripple, some with the right intentions, some with the wrong intentions. Mm-hmm. No different than any other part of the community where we tried to police. We had police officers in both ends of the block in reasonable proximity where the incident occurred. We had two young people, I would say young and age younger than us, in terms of to be our children, in their 20s who encountered one another on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. One brushed, bumped, touched, came in contact with the other. Mm-hmm. Weapons were displayed. Shots were fired. Innocent people were hurt. Mm. So when we were in proximity because we were able to identify a subject running with a gun from the scene and capture him. Mm. But it speaks volumes to...
But that individual that you captured that was trying to put a gun in the car, the ballistics does not match what wounded those seven?
We know he was not directly linked to the incident, but indirectly he was. Because we have adequate guns and weaponry in that area to protect the people in it. Mm-hmm. Why would you risk, number one, everything you own by using a gun in a case where you come in contact with someone in close proximity to one another on a sidewalk and risk everything you are as a person and an individual and community member? Why would you risk everything by taking a gun and shooting someone else from our community? It makes no sense to us.
Based upon talking to the officers that were out there, was the crowd that was in Broad Ripple on the sidewalks at that time, was it a mixed crowd? Was it a predominantly African-American crowd? The only reason I bring that up, the people that were wounded were all African-American. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows the identity of the shooters. But some of the statements of Broad Ripple merchants, Lee, have left the impression that the crowd that was there that night was predominantly African-American. And I don't think that is Broad Ripple today.
It is a very diverse crowd and has been getting very diverse. And by and large, to make it perfectly clear, the majority of the people who come to Broad Ripple come there in the spirit of peace, reconciliation. But if you remember a few months ago, we had a shooting where four people were shot because of the incident involving someone having a dispute in a bar.
Right.
Touching was involved in that. Four people were shot.
And they were mixed, as I remember.
Exactly, they were mixed. So we don't want to put a race on this as much as it is the behavior. It's aberrant behavior. It should not be tolerated, but there has to be understandings about rules of engagement. In Broad Ripple and any other place where we have that, that I would call is after 9-10 o'clock at night becomes more, less of a conducive family type atmosphere and more of an adult entertainment type zone or an entertainment district. So the question becomes, what should be the boundaries? What should be the rules and the policies if we're going to operate that area as an entertainment zone? Challenges are that we have to have universal agreement from the bar owners and those businesses who are open late as to how we're going to engage those rowdy patrons, the alcohol consumption, whether it's wise to shut down the street between Guilford Avenue and Broad Ripple.
The way you all do downtown during Expo and Classic.
And much like we do at Classic and Expo, much like we did when we took over the mall, we had a conversation with the owners, we had a conversation with the business community, and we came up with a plan, and the plan is working. And what we want to do is be able to make sure people come and go, ideally, utilize a brand new garage that's been built there, put the necessary technology into play in the area to monitor the area, but also have a spirit of understanding when people trespass and or loiter for purposes beyond being a patron, there ought to be some stiff penalties for that.
You weren't here then, and maybe Officer Kendall Adams is here and Chaplain Cody is here. They may remember some incidences with predominantly African-American nightclubs where incidents started within the nightclub, spilled out of the nightclub into the surrounding neighborhood, and the position of your predecessors at the time and the public safety directors at the time and the mayors of the day at the time was that these night spots, these businesses had a moral, if not legal obligation, not only to police the inside, but to make sure they were policing the outside. And their off-duty security wasn't just patrolling 50 feet in front of the door. They were making them work in the neighborhood. Is that something that may happen with some cooperation where you're not just looking in front of the door of the bar, it's moving block behind the alley in front of that kind of thing, similar to what happened in the black nightclubs? Because Bishop Cody never went in there, but he heard those stories. So he's not, because you remember them. You know what I did. Officer Kendall was real young on the force back then. But you see my point.
Yeah, you have to have a scanning response and analysis prospect. You have to look at the ingress and egress. How people enter and leave Broad Ripple is very interesting. Through side alleys, back doors in some of businesses, through gangways, so to speak, and dark streets.
That's right. There is that weird gangway coming out of the
There are quite a few. And we have some very, very unique, I would say, to business communities. But we also have little hamlets in the neighborhoods where we have to be careful because we don't want to change the ambiance, but yet still people lay in wait in some of these areas. But to your question, I think we need to be doing a thorough assessment of what's needed for that particular area and make a determination as to an area concept to policing, not just in front of a door, but an entire street where we look at both the alleys, both the byways and the side streets and make sure we have adequate police walking and all motorized bicycles and patrols. All those things are on the table to discuss as to how we combat this, but it has to be a uniform plan, not just a law enforcement plan, but a business plan for that community.
Have you started to get the tree shaking with tips, 262 tips to Crime Stoppers on people that saw it, or maybe they started to look back on their phone, on their cell phone, and see is there video, are there pictures of what happened that night?
Are you getting information trickling in slowly? We can use more, but let's face it, we know for a fact that people come to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to sustain this good time, we have to send a message to those who do not plan to come there for that purpose. And we have a group of individuals, small group in this city, Amos, regardless whether it's Broad Ripple or in 34th and Forest Morris Manor, that send messages that we are in control. I beg to differ. People have died and worked too hard and struggled for our city to be where it is in terms of inclusion, diversity, et cetera, to allow us to go back. So we have to be clear about the messages we're sending those individuals who do not plan to follow the law or at least follow the rules.
We had a caller earlier that said, how come nobody's put out a reward in terms for information in Broad Ripple? We've seen to me all those Broad Ripple businesses, as much beer and liquor and stuff that they've done over the years. Broad Ripple merchants, Chief, shut up a minute. Broad Ripple merchants, if y'all listening to me, y'all need to pass the hat around. Pass it all up and down Broad Ripple Avenue. Pass it up Guilford. Pass it up back. And y'all need to come up with 20, 30, 35. I'm not talking about dollars. I'm talking about 1,000. Y'all can break off those pieces and set a reward and start to shake the tree. Now, we end the commercial admin and we go back to Chief. Let me move.
Well, before you go any further, I'm just I hear you
say a lot. That's why I was trying to get you out of the line.
I know you are, but I'm saying this to you. In all fairness, we're going to be meeting with the merchants, but I think it's important that we, regardless of where it is, that we have citizens step up and own this, because whether it be a business community or not, the police department, I repeat, the police department cannot do this alone.
At 262 tips, and Kendall going to write down and give me what the text number is, because some of them young people, you're going to need that. You're going to need that when you go down the street to Hot 96.3 and give that message. A couple other things, because the chief is also going to hit all of our sister stations while he's here in the building. Moving to the situation with this heavy weapon. At what point, and I know this is an ongoing investigation, at what point will we be able to know the make or the type of weapon that was used to kill Officer Wren, and what the history of that weapon is? I've said, you know, on this program since Monday that we as a community, we need to know what kind of weapon was involved and everything from the time that weapon left the factory to who touched that weapon all the way around, because you have talked a lot of times about illegal guns in this city. But we also know, given the criminal history of Mr. Davis, the fact that he was not a convicted felon, the fact that he had gone over 4 to 5 years without any kind of record, that under the federal criminal background check, he could legally have owned that weapon. That does not justify what happened to your guy.
Sure. I've heard you make that statement and a strong argument for that premise. But here's, I'm going to throw something at that.
Okay.
One of the things we've also been advocating for, along with the fact that we have to have a mandatory minimum sentence around illegal gun use, particularly around convicted felons, is another part that we don't want to talk about in our community. It's around mental health. If we know people in our families and our communities are having challenges, whether it be depression, whether it be bipolar, whether it be schizophrenia, whether it be ADHD, do we really want to have weapons in their hands? And certainly we don't want to have them in have access to them in their homes. We have people who oftentimes have weapons who may not have been convicted. However, there are crimes they may have committed, but just a mere fact that they're not necessarily prepared
for the responsibility.
And for the responsibility of that weapon. I know no other reason, and study for show, for an assault weapon to be used but to wage war. Mm-hmm. It's not used in sports shooting. You don't use it for target practice and skeet shooting. You certainly don't use it for hunting. And when we utilize that weapon, it's because we're facing down a threat.
And you know it in advance.
A major threat in advance.
In this case, those guys didn't know it till they came up on it.
Well, I think it's very clear that we don't jump out of the car with an assault weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not having a threat with you, so where would you own or have a need for an assault weapon in a community barbecue on the 4th of July?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go any deeper than that, because I think there's some announcements coming forth real soon to explain everything you asked for in the beginning of the conversation about where, time, location, et cetera, et cetera.
Let me walk the community through some things that are going to happen. Obviously, the calling is tomorrow from 2 to 8 over at Crown Hill on 38th. And you don't have to be a member of law enforcement to come by the calling. How important is it for just ordinary folks to step through there?
You know, it's funny she used ordinary. Ordinary folks become police officers who are required to do extraordinary things. So we all are ordinary people blessed by God to be able to do whatever it is our spiritual gifts are. We want people to come by because this is symbolic of our community and that Andy cares. And this officer did something that was not only life-saving for his colleague, his officer who was with him, but imagine if those rounds would have went off and fired, more shots would have been fired in that neighborhood with that assault weapon. How many people would have been dead right now?
Mm-hmm.
The officer got there and saved a life. So if you think nothing more than this, that he stood in the battle, stood on the battlefield, He stood in the gap. He made it a safer place during his 21 years. He could have worked anywhere else in policing, but he chose to go back to that neighborhood every day and work that late shift. Mm-hmm. Amazing. And to the point where everybody knew him, black and white, knew him on a first name basis. He was a jovial kind of guy. He liked a joking kid, and people talked about that. Mm-hmm. So why not pay respect to someone who was part of the community? He was part of that community, and we want people to come out to recognize his family and the hard work. When he took time away from his family, he was with the police family and the community of Indianapolis.
In our culture, you know, we call a funeral service a homegoing. You call it a state funeral,
yes,
and that is 11 o'clock at the Fieldhouse,
yes,
downtown. It's free.
Yes, sir.
You know, 16,000 seats, anybody can come.
It's a homegoing celebration, 11 o'clock at Bankers Life.
The procession route will be announced a little bit later, and definitely the procession will go by the police station at Washington Park.
Yes, sir. That's tradition.
Okay, the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Then on Saturday, this is the first time this audience will have heard this, on Saturday night, 9 p.m., down on Monument Circle. All of the radio stations in town, all of the radio empires, Radio One and Emmis and all the other companies in town, have come together for a candlelight prayer vigil to lift up law enforcement, to lift up that we've got to reduce this violence, to lift up that every life, your life matters. It's being called Indy United. The mayor will speak. Congressman Carson will speak. I hear the chief may say a word or two. The public safety director will say a word or two. There will be prayer. There will be clergy present. There will be some music, and folk will light a candle or a match or a lighter or hold their cell phones up. How important are things like that, chief?
It is a time of unity. It's a time to bring together those who care. Let's face it, Amos, we don't say it. No one else will for us. We have to be the example we want to see. Our young people are to see us taking time out to recognize this is not normal, this is not acceptable, and this community is standing together in lockstep to prevent future violence in our community.
And then on Sunday, and this was being planned with the mayor's office, with Deputy Mayor Olgin Williams, before the tragedies of this past weekend, Universal Soul Circus, in cooperation with the city, you're going to have like a Your Life Matters, a peace parade and walk going from the Brightwood Community Center down 25th, down Dearborn, paying their respects to another family that was hit by violence. What was it?
I call them my distant cousin because the Morrows are my family name. So mm-hmm. Mother Morrow, 84-year-old grandmother, yep, lost her life, and along with her granddaughter, by a man who chose to take matters in his own hand after being rejected in a domestic violence situation. But we're going to honor her memory,
mm-hmm,
by, again, as you stated, walking from 25th Street down Dearborn and assembling in the park.
And in the Washington Park.
Yes,
the circus will do a little bit of a preview, and it's an opportunity for the whole community to come together. I mean, an opportunity for law enforcement and the community to come together and all enjoy a little bit of a preview of the circus. And one final thing, I know the plan for next weekend is together. In the wake of what has happened, are you possibly beefing up the plan, or are you just waiting to see?
We already have a plan in place. We plan to talk about that in the next 30 minutes with IBE, but let's face it, this is a good city. We have people who understand, who get it. We've done this for 3 years in a row now since I've been here. The plan has worked. Well, you know we're coming to visit. We give positive reinforcement, and thank you for your behavior. Those who know we're coming, we want to thank you for your years of service of being understanding and obedient when we ask you to stand down and stay away if you're not going to come in peace. We're going to be visiting people again like we always do. We're going to continue to identify and pay attention to those threats and those issues we hear on social media. We're going to put the numbers out there for you to text and to give us information should you know something. 262-TIPS is one, and we want to make sure we message out.
And I think the other one is text to 274637, keyword crime.
That's exactly right.
Keyword crimes, text to 274637. So if some of y'all know what happened in Broad River last weekend, would y'all just drop the dime? Get it over, you know, let's get those persons off the street. You ain't getting nobody in trouble because Crime Stoppers is anonymous. And if the information leads to some information, there's a blessing coming from you.
That's a promise.
Well, coming from you, coming to you.
Absolutely.
And the chief's got to, you know, normally you would take calls, but the chief is going to hit all of our sister stations, so we make sure that all the word gets out. Always good to see you. Rick,
thank you, sir. And we'll continue to get out of the car and meet people in the neighborhoods. Thank you.
All right.